Praise God. Let's give worship to Jesus together. He is worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He is worthy, He is worthy. Let's lift up Jesus together. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I want to say it is a privilege to be speaking in this slot tonight on the program. I do appreciate it. And I don't feel adequate. And that is not just a statement for a posture of humility. I truly do not feel adequate, especially after some of the great preaching that we have heard this week. Amen? Brother Claiborne, our president today, Brother Mullins, Brother Suber, the two young men that preached today, Brother Tim Smith, Brother Raymond Etheridge, this preaching has been so outstanding. I'm going to tell you, what we are came by preaching, and what we will remain will be by preaching. Hallelujah. We've got to have preaching, folks. We've got to have good, solid, strong preaching. Praise God. And I do so appreciate the tone of consecrated holiness, yet progressive, revival-minded preaching that has been throughout this convention. Praise God. Well, let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Now look, I'm just going to be Nathan Morton, okay? I don't sing real well. I mean, I'm not as bad as some of you, but I don't sing real well. You know, a lot of these guys you hear, Brother Miles Young sing so clear and powerful, and Brother Barry Claiborne so smooth. I'm more hawk and spit. But I do feel something on my heart tonight, and I don't have a lot of time. But I'm going to, they've given me 30 minutes, and I'm going to be done in that or sooner. Amen? And so I'm just going to get right into it. Is that okay? Let's read first in Hebrews chapter 11, and then we'll go to Romans chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked, everybody say, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now I want to go to verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not, everybody say it with me, seen. Now I want to go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Us chubby guys get heated up real quick. Verse 20. Now we're talking about Abraham. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Tonight I want to preach to you for just a little while on this thought. I want you to follow me, and I'm going to get there quickly, so please don't wait for me. Just stay up with me. I'm going to preach the momentum of vision. The momentum of vision. Lord, tonight it's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by your Spirit. We need the move of the Holy Ghost. We need the move of the Spirit. I pray that you would change us tonight. I pray that you would do something in us tonight. Send us out of this place, a conquering people. Send us out of this place, a church triumphant. Send us out of this place with a glorious anointing, with a strong identity, with a powerful message. I pray, oh, let's clap our hands right now together in the presence of the Lord. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Now, I want to explain something tonight so you know where I'm coming from. And if you'll allow me a little bit of liberty tonight, I want to explain to you how I think in terms of faith and how I think in terms of vision. You see, I was able with my great scholastic mind to cram 2 years of Bible college into 3 years. I worked hard. I put my shoulder to the wheel, but I was able to cram 2 years into 3 years. But in all of this, I tell you one thing. There is nothing they can teach you in Bible college that prepares you for the real world. My God, have mercy. And I'm not up here to preach against Bible college. I'm just saying, you get out there, friend, and the devil's big, and he's got sharp teeth and long claws. Now, I'm not scared of the devil, but I'm just telling you reality. But when I think of faith, I think of God's ability. I think of God's divine power. I think of the same God who stood on the balcony of nothing and said, let there be light, and it simply appeared. The creative Word of God. He said, let there be worlds. Let there be a firmament. Let there be a tree yielding fruit after their kind. And He stooped down, and out of a little dirt, He made man. I'm thinking about the ability of God. I'm thinking about God's divine power to create and to do. When I think of faith, I'm talking about the belief that I have that God can do it. But when I think of vision, when I think about the word vision, where there is no vision, where there is no vision, the people will perish. When I think about vision, to me, vision is faith gone a little deeper. Vision is faith gone a little farther. Vision is faith moved into another dimension. It is not just believing that God can. It's not just believing that God is able. It's not just believing God will do it. But it is believing that God will do it for me. It is believing that God has a promise for me. It is believing that God has revival for me. That God has anointing for me. That God has a touch. That God has a plan. That God has a personalized revival. That God has a personalized plan for my life, for my church, for my family, for my kids. I'm talking about in my city. I'm talking about in my life. I'm talking about in my circumstances. I'm talking about in my church. I'm talking about creating a momentum of vision. Woo, you got to get what I'm telling you tonight. A lot of us sit here and know God can do it. A lot of us sit here and know God's able to do it. But I'm talking about vision. When you begin to see God doing it for you, when you begin to see God taking place in your life, in your ministry, in your church, I'm talking about the momentum of vision. When faith begins to evolve into a personal story, when faith becomes focused, when faith becomes personalized, James said, faith without works is dead. Faith will always demonstrate. Faith will always manifest itself. Hallelujah. Faith will always come through. Faith is always going to be... Now, I know the substance of faith, the essence of faith, is not tangible. It's not picked up with the five senses. I understand that. That it is a spiritual thing at its essence. I'm not trying to get off in some weird doctrine here. But I am here to say this. That faith begins as a seed in the heart of a man or a woman or a church. And it begins to grow. But before long, there will be a tangible demonstration of faith. There will be a tangible manifestation of faith. And somewhere tonight, with all the preaching that's happened, with everything that's taken place in this conference, I'm trying to awaken something in us that says to grab a hold of faith and turn it into vision. Get some momentum going in your own heart, in your own life, in your own soul, in your own spirit. Abraham, 75 years old. Thank God, that's how old I feel right now by the end of this convention. 75 years old. And Lord says, Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great nation. Abraham and Sarah, Pop and Geritol. I'm going to make of you a great nation. Can I act like I'm in Chico tonight? All right. If my pants sag a little bit and my gut hangs out, forgive me. I'm in Chico. My wife's already nervous. She hates when I get like this. I'm sorry. I'm just a caveman. 75 years old. And the promise comes. I'm going to make of you a great nation. Now, I want to qualify something here. Before all this happened, he said, Abraham, before he told him he was going to make him a great nation, he said, get thee out from among your people. If you can stand it one more time, I'm going to tell you something. Our strength and our anointing rests upon the fact that we are willing to come out and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Abraham could have sat in Ur of the Chaldees all he wanted to and talked about how God spoke to him. But the power came when he left. But anyway, he says, I'm going to make you a great nation. He was 75 years old when the promise was made. Now stay with me here just a minute. He was 75 years old when the promise was made. You go for a while, and when the promise was fulfilled, he was 100 years old. Now, that's 25 years of waiting on a promise. 25 years. Now you got to stay with me because you'll misinterpret me if you're not careful. Now I believe that God acts on our behalf. And I believe that God is instant, if you know what I mean. I believe God's there all the time. He's as close, as the song says, as the mention of His name. And the power of God is always accessible. And I believe that the revival is always going to be happening and going on. But hear me, friend. Sometimes it doesn't always happen just exactly when we want it to happen. 25 years. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The first night God told him that, said, look up at those stars, Abraham. That's how what your seed is going to be like. Look down at the sand around your feet. That's what your family is going to be like. A great nation without number. I guarantee he went home that night bubbling with excitement. He went home that night just a humming and a trembling. Oh, Sarah, you won't believe what God has told me. You will not believe. Oh, we're going to have kids. We're going to have scared the kids. But then, a month passes. Oh, it's going to happen, Sarah. Then another month passes. Then 6 months. Oh, Sarah, God said it! What was He telling her in year 15? Well, Sarah, get out of my face, Abraham. You're driving me nuts. Now, don't you get all acting spiritual like stuff like that never happens to you. Some people act like they get up every morning and have Pop-Tarts with God. Yep, me and God sat down at the kitchen table today, had Pop-Tarts and talked to God a little bit. Some people meet God or angels or somebody else every time they go to the airport. I tell you, I'm going to open up a branch working in an airport. Hallelujah. Anyway, that's a secret joke. But I'm going to say something. The promise does not always come exactly when you want it to. But hear me! If God promised it, it's on the way! Come on, let's hunt this dog a little bit. It may not come tomorrow morning. It may not come by next youth convention. But if God said it, it's on the way! I'm going to tell you something. You got to get it mold rolling. You got to get some momentum turning over in your soul. What kept Abraham going when it was the 10th year and there was still no baby? What kept him going when it was the 20th year and there was still no baby? The momentum of what God had shown him. The momentum of looking up on that starry night. The momentum of looking down at that sand and realizing God has told me He's going to do it. That's what kept him going. What kept him going? Hey, you know, just because you pray through, life doesn't stop. Your socks still get dirty. You still need to wear deodorant. Your car still breaks down. Yeah. I'm going to say, hear me. What kept Abraham going when it was day after day after day, after seeing that starry sky, woo, and telling Sarah all about it? What kept him going when the herds and the flocks broke out in disease? when the wells ran dry, when the herdsmen and the keepers of the flock were fussing with one another and griping at one another and jawing on one another, and Sarah didn't like Hagar, and Hagar didn't like Sarah, and Ishmael was out cruising the avenue on his camels or whatever they were doing. What kept him going when the sandstorms blew through that desert and wreaked havoc in the camp? What kept him going? I'm going to tell you what kept him going. Hear me now. He had a vision that was greater than his present circumstances. He knew what God had shown him. There was a big starry sky embedded in his soul. And he knew, come hell or high water, there's something turning over in me. It says, I know it's going to happen. I know it's going to take place. I'm talking about the momentum of vision. I'm talking about seeing it because God said it. Hallelujah. Oh, let's worship the Lord together. Come on, somebody's got to catch it tonight. Somebody's got to catch it tonight. Sarah, you don't understand. When I looked up into that sky, I wasn't just seeing stars and constellations and galaxies. I was seeing a mighty nation, blessed and anointed of God. Oh, hallelujah. And day after day after day after day, when it still wasn't happening, when it still wasn't taking place, when nothing was breaking through, there was a momentum, a vision that kept driving him. He kept believing. He kept praying. He kept trusting. Hallelujah. Momentum, 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 momentum. I'm talking about the momentum of vision. He said faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Sometimes all you've got to keep you preaching, keep you knocking doors, keep you loving God is what you've seen in your soul, is what God has put in your spirit. Hallelujah to God. The momentum of vision. When we first came to Chico, I've got 15 minutes, I'll be done. When we first came to Chico in 1996, we took a church where a preacher had gone bad, gone into false doctrine, immorality, all kinds of junk. Those people had been through a court battle that lasted years because of legal matters in the church. There was wounded people. There was 14 folks in that church. Wounded people. Some of them bitter. Many of them disillusioned. And every one of them confused. And beaten down. But God put it in my soul. God put it in my heart. Said, I have a church in that city. Hallelujah. I have a church in that city. And you pull up in front of a little storefront. Hallelujah. And you're thinking, God, you have a church in this city? But I'm going to tell you something. Now hear me. God's turned things around. And those people are precious people. God weeded out the folks that didn't want revival. And left behind the folks that did want revival. And did want holiness. And did want doctrine. Hallelujah. They wanted it. And let me define this, friend. That's all a part of revival. When I'm saying revival, I'm not just talking about bigger numbers. That's not what I'm talking about. I believe that happens. But revival is everything. I don't want to hear about your revival that you're having when people aren't getting holiness either. That ain't revival, friend. And when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will lead and guide you into all truth. Talk to me all you want about the Spirit is moving. But the Spirit I'm talking about, the Spirit of truth, when He comes, He leads you into all truth. Not just the truth you like. Not just the truth that's convenient. Not just the truth that is palatable to the world. But He will take you into all truth. That's Acts 2:38 truth. That's one God truth. That's holiness truth. Hallelujah. That's what I mean when I'm talking about revival. But we went into that place. I remember the first couple services. You know, it's small. And they're trying to get used to me. And I'm trying to get used to them. And the building we were in, you could fit 31 chairs in there. Max. 31 chairs. It was a storefront. There was a cake place on one side and a thrift store on the other side, and that was about it. But I remember after a couple services, the Lord began to deal with me. And He said, tell you what, you go in there. And He said, you go in there and you preach like there's 300 people. And they're screaming and they're hollering and they're rabid. And they're on their feet and they're foaming at the mouth. Figuratively speaking. They're foaming at the mouth because they want preaching and they want revival. You go in there like that. Now God put that in my heart, friend. And I began to see the momentum building in my soul. And boy, I went into church that Sunday night and I got to screaming and I got to hollering like I was preaching at youth convention and I was acting wild. And I hit a big old point and I quit and it was quiet. You guys were all geared up to go bonkers. I hit it big. I hit it great. And I stopped. And my wife was saying, thank you, Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. God's turned it around. And those are precious people. And now they preach me to death. But I'm talking about the momentum of vision. See? I'm not talking about the momentum of reality. I'm talking about the momentum of vision. I'm talking about what God said. He calls those things that are not as though they were. So you know what I did? I came back the next service and I kept on preaching. I came back the next service and I kept on preaching. And I came back the next service and I kept on preaching. Then lo and behold, one Sunday night, I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden Sister So-and-so broke loose and an old 70-some-year-old man took off running the aisles. I said, my God, all of a sudden, the momentum of vision started rolling. And it got over here. And it got over there. And it got in that one. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the motion of vision. I'm talking about when God takes faith and He breaks it down into your personal circumstance. Anybody can shout at youth convention. If you can't shout at youth convention, anyway. Remember, now you see, God puts all this stuff in your soul. I'm pulling my pants up so I look decent, okay? I probably should wear suspenders. I've got the little buttons for them. But I'm afraid that one of these days, those buttons will pop off and I'll be liable for a lawsuit taking somebody's head off. Anyway, I remember God, I'd been there a couple months and God said, hey, Martin, not just like that, but anyway, said, go out, take your car. No, I had a van, minivan. Said, take your minivan. Hey, you need to give God your car. Yeah. You need to give God your car. If your church can't afford a bus, hallelujah, go give Him your car. Say, Pastor, I'll put as many people in there as I can. I remember when I was 18-year-old, I had a little Chevette hatchback that set four people. But I wanted to pick people up for church. Oh, don't do this. And I couldn't get everybody in. I went to one place, and there was 9 kids in these apartments that wanted to come, and I couldn't get them all in there. So I threw a bunch of Snicker bars back under the hatchback, and they all crowded in. I shut the door and went to church. Don't do that. But there needs to be. So when you catch the vision, friend, your whole life gets absorbed in it. When that momentum begins rolling over in your soul, your whole life gets absorbed in it. Hold on just a minute. I've got 7 minutes. I've got to hurry. Now here. God said, take your van and start picking up kids for Sunday school. So I told the church. I said, here in a couple of weeks, we're going to get set up. But we're not going to have, say I used to, because this is what they were doing when I got there. I would teach for an hour, and then we'd sing a chorus, and then I'd preach. I said, we're not going to do that anymore. I said, that first hour is going to be for Sunday school, and we're going to get some old snot-nosed bus kids in here and teach the word to them. We're going to have Sunday school, and we're going to act crazy, and we're not going to be all stiff and starchy, but we're going to have Sunday school. So, I announced that to the church, and I'm all excited about it, boy, because there's vision, see? There's vision in my heart, and I'm all excited about it, what God's going to do, blah, 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 blah. And I announce it to the church, and after church, people say, no, this sounds good. And here comes Deacon Dry Dust. Don't laugh. You guys have them too. Deacon Dry Dust. And your brother? Wait, I sent him over to Hollister. You know, brother, I think you're making a mistake with this Sunday school stuff. Now, I was nice. My wife has taught me to be nice. So I was nice. I said, brother, you know, I said, look, allow me to try it and fail rather than not try it. I said, allow me to do that, okay? I said, because we're not talking doctrine. We're not talking holiness. Let me try this. Okay? Okay, brother. When on the inside, I won't tell you what I say on the inside. Because it's all under the blood. But I'll have you to know before long, God supplied us with a van, but I'm still using mine. God supplied us with folks that wanted to drive it. And before long, the Gontese family come walking in because they wanted to bring their kids to Sunday school. And a few weeks later, Becky Gontese was in the altar praying through because of Sunday school. And then Kim Vincent came and she started bringing her kids. Then she started staying for morning worship. And then Brother Paul Burchard was preaching her Bible for me. And she got the Holy Ghost, and on it goes. You've got to understand, friend, the momentum of vision. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, Petaluma's a great church. But what kept your father there? What kept Elder Claymore there? When there was five folks and everybody didn't like him. Everybody thought he was a kook. And service after service after service. What kept him there? What kept him? The momentum of vision. God had put in his heart. God has shown him what I'm going to do. Oh, you've got to catch your pastor's vision. You've got to catch your pastor's heartbeat. Get in the groove. Get in the rhythm with your pastor. I'm talking about the momentum of vision. It keeps you going when you don't want to go on. It keeps you going when you're discouraged. It keeps you going when the devil's messing with you. I'm talking about the momentum of vision. Hallelujah. The devil's done all kinds of stuff since we went there trying to discourage us. Made my kids sick. Made me sick. Done all kinds of stuff. Tearing people up in the church. People failing you wouldn't expect to fail. And all kinds of stuff. What keeps you getting up and preaching faith and preaching revival? What keeps the momentum of vision? It's not here yet. But when I looked up into that starry sky, it wasn't just stargazing. I saw a church. I saw a people. I saw the hand of God. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. I'm ending in a few moments. Now let me tell you how I am. I'm very practical. I'm very functional. And it drives my wife crazy. Because if my clothes fit, I think they look good. If they button and zip and everything else, I think, oh, fine, I'm okay. But I will walk out of the house looking like I escaped from a convalescent home. Because in my mind, it's function over form. You know, if my jacket's on and there's no big old gaping holes in it, I'll take little ones. But if there's no big old gaping holes in it and my pants are okay, then I'm fine. But I know now I've got to pass by my wife, and if she gives me that, Don't worry, you young bucks that aren't married tonight, you will realize what means. The world itself could not contain the volume of the books that could be written on what means. Let me tell you why I'm preaching what I'm preaching tonight. Because I know that when we hit the lights and clear the parking lot and break down all the equipment, you've got to carry something home with you. A lot of people like to come to U Convention, and wallow in it. Allow me to wallow. They like to just wallow all in it. Hey, I've lost weight. Used to, if I bent my head up like that, I couldn't see my feet. But some of you like to come to youth convention. Whew, this is the first time I've laid down all week. You like to come to youth convention and wallow in it and get it all over you. But then you go home and in 2 weeks it's gone. But I'm on somebody tonight to get the momentum of vision in your heart and in your soul. So that 3 weeks from now, when youth convention's over, you're still humming. 3 months from now, you're still humming. You're still praying. I'm trying to get this excitement to translate. Buddy, if you're doing that 6 months from now, that's what we want. I'm talking about the momentum of vision. I'm talking about faith getting deeper than just a program at youth convention. I'm talking about faith getting into your daily routine where it just becomes habit to seek God and live holy and win the lost. I'm talking about the momentum of vision where it's in you so deep that you wake up sniffing revival. You go to bed sniffing revival. You go all through the work day just snorting and sniffing and chewing on revival. Woo! All right. This is it. Now, don't get me wrong. I like you getting excited here. That's good. You need to hoot and holler and all that. But this has to translate into vision. Into vision. Where it's actually not just a big glob out there of revival. But all of a sudden it takes form. And it's your local church. It's your youth group. It's your family. It's your city. Oh, when I drive the streets of Chico, friend, I'm not just seeing Walmart. I'm not just seeing a gas station and the bank. When I drive the streets of that city, I'm seeing revival. I'm seeing souls. I'm seeing praying people through the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the momentum of vision. I'm talking about a momentum that will carry you months past this convention. I'm talking about a momentum that when you hit it on Sunday morning, your pastor cannot believe what has taken place. Woo! When Jesus was up on that Mount of Transfiguration, his raiment shone. His face glowed. And old Peter, James, and John, they're just woo. Feeling joy juice. Up here on this mountain, it's easy to woo. Let's talk about revival. I'm talking about a Saturday morning when you'd rather sleep in or play ball. I'm not against playing ball. As long as it's not competitive sports. I'm not against playing ball. I'm not against sleeping in sometimes. But let me tell you, I'm talking about a momentum that'll roll your carcass out of bed and say, I'm going and knocking the door. I am finding a Bible study. I'm not going to wait for one to come to me. I'm going to go dig one up. After the transfiguration was complete, Peter, James, and John are all huddled together saying, ooh, man, let's build a tabernacle here. One for Elijah, one for Moses, and one for Jesus. And they're just all huddled together having a big time. And Jesus is walking down off the mountain. And there they are going to build these big tabernacles. And Jesus is walking away. And I can just see Peter saying, hey, wait, Lord, wait. We got a big deal planned back here. We got a big program going on back here. The Lord just keeps on walking. Why? Because at the bottom of that mountain, at the bottom of that great transfiguration, there was a little demon-possessed boy and a host of other people. In Mark chapter 9, you can read it, that needed his attention. Hallelujah. And with compassion, with the momentum of his purpose rolling over in his soul, he said, you boys, go ahead and stay back here and build your tabernacles. I'm going to get out there and fulfill my vision. Come on right now, put your hands in the air. I'm challenging you. I'm challenging every young person in this place. Right now, start seeking the Lord. Saying, God, give me a vision. God, give me a vision. God, give me something in me. God, put something in me. Come on, young people, I'm challenging you right now. You can't put up a mailbox and live in youth convention. You got to go home and translate this into vision. You got to go home and translate this into winning the lost. Come on, young people, right now, with this blessing comes a commission. Put your hands together and clap unto the Lord.